Limits on Alaska's commercial fisheries were established in the early 1970s to ensure the industry could sustain itself. But researchers and SeaLaska shareholders say that's backfired in rural native villages, where many family-run boats have raised their hooks and nets for good. Now, they're calling for change. A half century ago, Angoon's Harbor was packed with small, family-operated boats that caught fish on hook and line, called trolling, or with a big net called a purse seine. Salmon and halibut fed mouths and bank accounts. Peter Duncan, mayor of Angoon, remembers those days. But it's not the same anymore. He says that fisheries regulations have caused
devastating changes. You just don't find a troller in our harbors anymore.
He says that's made people more dependent on government help, like food stamps. Duncan grew up fishing on his father's seiner in the small Tlingit village on Admiralty Island. He graduated to his own troll boat and commercially fished until the early 1990s, when he says he couldn't make a living that way anymore. Folks weren't catching enough salmon to make money, so permits became more valuable to sell. Many of those permits left the island, and with them went the means for the village to sustain itself.
It's sad to know that at one time, we used to be, a strong fishing fleet that took pride in going out and going fishing.
Duncan's story isn't unique. This reality has unfolded in most rural villages throughout the Gulf of Alaska, as first reported by the Northern Journal. In part, it's an unintended consequence of a law that took effect in 1975 called the Limited Entry Act, which allowed the state to issue a set number of permits for each fishery. The goal was to address a sustainability problem. At the time, salmon populations were plummeting while commercial fishermen multiplied. The idea was simple. Cap the number of people fishing, and there will be enough to go around. But that's not what happened in native villages. Courtney Carruthers, an environmental anthropologist at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks, led a study of more than 3,000 SeaAlaska shareholders and descendants about the community impacts of fisheries limitation policies. She found that SeaAlaska villages owned half as many fishing vessels in 2019 than they owned in 1978. And commercial salmon permits had dwindled by more than a third since 1975.
This is not good public policy if our communities in the Gulf of Alaska, surrounded by the ocean with, thousands of years of fishing knowledge and history within one generation are cut out. I mean, this is an absolute crisis.
Joan Nelson is interim president of the SeaAlaska Corporation, representing Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian interests in Southeast Alaska. His airy corner office in downtown Juneau looks out over Gastineau Channel. Clouds trundle into the snowy peaks of Douglas Island. Glossy magazine copies of Carruthers' study are spread out on a table. The report points to a loss of fishing access as one of the main reasons people leave their rural villages.
That's all been going one way, and that's migration out of most of the fleet and most of the permits.
That out-migration, he says, leads to schools and other services closing down. Those who stay behind are aging out of the industry without enough young people to pick it up, he says.
So the whole economy just shrinks. It's much bigger than a single fisherman that decides not to show up anymore.
Nelson says that the state needs to tweak the limited entry system so that native communities can fish commercially without going bankrupt. When limited entry started, the price to fish for salmon skyrocketed from hundreds of dollars to thousands.
So today, a seine permit in Southeast Alaska is worth about $140,000, and a drift permit is worth about $44,000.
Those numbers vary, depending on how well a fishery is doing. Johnson says that while the Limited Entry Act helped make Alaska's fisheries more sustainable, it created this new problem. Now, the commission is talking internally about potential solutions.
Such as making it administratively easier to transfer a permit to another rural resident in the same area that you live in.
Researchers say there could be room for creating a new class of permit, such as an entry-level or small-scale permit, to get people started. But any changes would have to come through the state legislature. There's also a potential federal pathway for recognizing indigenous rights to fish, which were not compensated through the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. SeaAlaska is not advocating for specific policy changes just yet. Nelson says there must be open public discussions that look at the slew of ideas. But first, he wants state officials to recognize that there is a problem. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.